Would you take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We are in a series on Romans chapter 1, trying to look at the depths of it and make application to our own lives. Thank you for many of you praying for this past week, ministering, preaching at Wolf Mountain Camp in Grass Valley, California. I am astounded of how God answers prayer. There were 11 professions of faith on Thursday night, 8 of them. Thank you so much for praying. I'm astounded at the response to God's word. And also throughout the week, it was pretty rough start. Some of the teenagers and their friends from the Bay Area were there, and kind of a rougher crowd. But by Wednesday night, the roughness was beginning to go, and we're able to build major bridges into the lives of a number of different cultures than myself. There were a number who just right up front, I'm a white boy, and maybe not of their particular culture. There was numerous different cultures that were there, and wasn't able to build bridges of connectivity, but until Wednesday evening. And then what an honor to have some pretty hardened, tough guys that were juniors and seniors in high school yesterday morning wanting to hug me, thanking me for the ministry of God's word in their lives. So thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the reason why he made it through some difficult times of ministry and the ministry still going forward was because of you doing praying. So thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that and never cease to be amazed at the receptivity of folks with God's word. So thank you for praying. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 is an introduction in which Paul is basically introducing himself and the people, but in it all, Paul wraps himself up so much in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he can hardly separate the two. He's really bringing up, it's all about Jesus and it's all about the gospel. And he says, as I introduce myself to you, all that's good about me is the gospel. It reminded me as I tried to introduce myself to the folks the first night there, I said that the best things about Aaron Young are Jesus Christ and my wife, Joy. And the best thing about all of us, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, the best thing about you is not your abilities. It is Jesus Christ. And Paul gets a grasp of that. We've looked at that. And then in verses 8 through really verse 15, he is hitting his passion and prayer for them. We've looked at verses 8, 9, and 10. Thankful prayer as well as requesting prayer. Some folks ask, what should I be praying for when I pray? Well, verses 8, 9, and 10 tells verse 8 basically some of the things I should be thankful for. In verses 9 and 10, some of the things that I could be praying for others as well as for myself. And then we hit his passion, and not just the prayer, not just Paul or the people, but his passion in verses 11 and 12, which we're looking at today. Verse 13 deals with how do I balance my prayers and God's will and the hindrances I find in life. We will be getting to that. And then verses 14 and 15, continuing that passion. We're looking today, though, a continuation of last week of verse 11, verses 11 and 12. Paul's passion was, I long to see you, to be with you. I want to be among you. I want to be around you. That is my passion. But it's not just being around you, kicking it back. There is a goal that I might bestow among you some spiritual gift. And here's the reason why I want to be giving you something from my own life spiritually. The goal is that you might be strengthened. And then he clarifies this whole thing. Verse 12, that is, that I might be comforted together with you through our mutual faith, both yours and mine. Let's bow and ask God's help this morning. Lord, Thank you for the singing, for the songs, worship in singing, worship in giving. Lord, we pray that you would help us with the worship of listening. Help me to do my part with the worship of speaking, and all of us to do our part with the worship of living afterwards. Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts, that we, including myself, as I preach to myself, Lord, help our hearts to be tender and receptive. Father, thank you for the reminder through your Son, the Lord Jesus, of different types of soils of people's hearts. Some are hardened and the seed will not penetrate. Others have lots of thorns from this world and what they care for, which choke it out. Others have a bedrock beneath it. But there are others that have right soil that your word can be planted and you bring forth increase. Lord, we pray that my heart and that my friends, my loved ones' hearts here today would be receptive to what points you're trying to make in your word here. Help us to stop and think about why you're saying these things and help us to make application. Lord, we need you. Thank you, Lord, for my friends here who prayed for me this past week, and we pray for those 11 as they are in church today, that they would be greatly ministered to, that you would help them as Satan is on the attack on them, I'm sure already. A number of other young people who have made decisions for you and have been able to penetrate stony hearts. Lord, I pray that you would work in those young people's lives that we ministered to this past week. But Lord, we need your ministry here among us now. And make us receptive, we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. There are among the underworld and the black market such a thing as a fake ID. Fake IDs are popular mostly with young people, college age or high school students. They try to make themselves look older so that they can pose as something that they are actually not, so that they can actually fit in. I've often said that sometimes within a church, there are some of us who come, I think, and show up, and I'll raise my hand there, with fake IDs from time to time. We come in with the ID, basically we have all of our act together, when really we don't even have all the pieces sometimes. We come in with the fake ID that there's nothing but unity and harmony, when really there is some disunity and disharmony. And what the Apostle Paul is really emphasizing here in this passage of Scripture is that there should be the blessedness of fellowship and being together as Christians. And there's two points to it. We saw last week in verse 11, if there is going to be good, right, biblical fellowship, we need to, in verse 11, lovingly give spiritual strengthening to others. And each word is very important. It is lovingly, and I should say perhaps meeting with the text, longingly. There should be a desire to want to be with one another. There are things that would want to hinder that. Satan would want to use all kinds of instruments to want us to back away from that. But we must recognize that one of our purposes is we must long. And if that longing is not to be together as Christians, let's pray and ask God to do something about that. And there should be a loving spirit in which we give spiritual strengthening to others. We're still reviewing last Sunday. What is fellowship? Fellowship is more than just two fellows in a ship. It's not just doing things with other Christians in which I laugh. Please don't take what I'm saying to its illogical extent. I am not downing going fishing. I'm not downing being in a ship. I'm not downing doing fun things with other Christians. That's not what I'm saying. But based on God's word, God is saying that our shoulder strength in our time and being together should be spiritual. Do you see that there in verse 11? I long to see you that I might bestow among you some, what kind of gift? Something spiritual in people's lives with this goal in mind, that they would be strengthened. Now, that means we need to recognize a couple of things. Recognize, dear friend, even if you are in sixth grade right here, or in fifth grade, and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, according to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, all of us are equipped to be able to minister to other people. Some of us may feel, I don't know very much Bible. Because of what's happened to me in my past, because of what's happening to me in my present, because of my difficulties with church and organized religion right now, because of my difficulties that I have with people here, or whatever the list could go on, a person could want to step back from this. But God says that we should be taking a step forward in trying to be fellowshipping with each other, with the goal of building others up spiritually. Yes? Sometimes that building others up spiritually can take place on the golf course. Sometimes it can take place at Sierra Java or another coffee shop of your choice. Of course, we all know that there's none any better here in town, right? Or it could be in any of various means, helping run cattle or drive cattle to a particular place, helping some of our ranch friends. It could be meeting with someone who's getting off of the mine shift at 8:30 at night for a really quick supper, or sending a quick text or a quick email or a phone call. The means of it can be multifaceted, but we are to be strengthening each other spiritually, and there should be a spiritual aspect. Friends, our gathering is far more different than a Christian Kiwanis or a Christian Rotary or a Christian Kiwanis Lions Club. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and our goal should be in spiritually strengthening one another. You are equipped with it. You're equipped with giftedness to help others. Say, I don't think I necessarily have that. According to God, through Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, all of us have the gift, four-letter word that begins with an L, of which we all are to practice, and that's the greatest spiritual equipment that we can ever have. What is that gift? Love. So, I can't have any excuses. I'm to be stepping out with attempting to be loving and building bridges to other people. I was humbled this past week, as I've already told you, in dealing with folks with a number of different cultures, some pretty hardened teenage boys. But it's amazing how love and encouragement can build bridges, and how discouragement and lack of love can explode them. Recognize you are equipped. Secondly, recognize that the goal is building other people up in the Lord. Now, that's in summation what we saw last week. All of us are to desire these times to be together. Friends, I am like you sometimes. You've all heard the joke probably about this boy that was in his bed. And his mom came in and woke him up, said, "We're going to be late for church unless you get up. Mom, I don't want to be getting up." "Why don't you want to get up?" "I don't want to go to church today." "You need to go to church today." "Well, I don't want to go to church today." "Come on, I've got a really good breakfast for you. You get up, you can have a good breakfast. It'll change your mood and disposition." "I don't want to eat that breakfast because I don't want to go to church." "Look, son, you're the pastor of the church. You need to be getting up, and we need to be getting in there." Pastors can feel that way. You can feel that way because of various reasons. We cannot let our human circumstances call the shots of what God's duty is for us. Yes, you may not have felt like getting up this morning, but your discipline got you up out of bed. And sometimes we do things that we don't feel like doing. Unfortunately, sometimes that can even apply to actually going to church and trying to fellowship with others. The emphasis of verse 11 is, I need to take a step out and forward in being a blessing, spiritual blessing to others. We have a fellowship time, 9 to 9:30. I hope that you're taking advantage of that. We have a time right after the opening song in which we go around and shake hands. Friends, I want to remind us. We need reminders sometime. I have to remind myself of things. Whenever we have visitors here, we should have a circle of you encircling them and welcoming them here. Now, we have some visitors here today. I'm not embarrassing them, nor am I trying to embarrass you. But this is what the text is saying, and so I'm trying to make application on this. If you are here, I don't just stand there in my place waiting for someone to come looking at for me. I am to be looking for them. Isn't that the emphasis of verse 11? The emphasis of verse 11 is, Paul says, I am taking the initiative to come to you. I'm going to go to you, and I want to be a blessing to you. I'm taking the step first. Now, all of us like that a boy, right? All of us like that a boy. All of us like a pat on the back. All of us like that kind of encouragement. All of us like it when someone comes and shakes our hand and a pat on the back. Hey, how you doing? All of us like that. We have to take the responsibility of initiating that first, not just with visitors, but with each other. Because as we concluded last Sunday, all of us have a tendency to be self-centered. All of us have that tendency from time to time with pity parties. All of us have the tendency to want, I want someone ministering to me. Paul had great difficulties in ministry. And he could want people to be ministering to him. But he recognized before he received the ministry of other people, if he's going to be receiving the ministry of others, he has got to be taking the initiative with intentionality in reaching out to other people. So, dear friends, Proverbs says, a man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. So the implication, now we don't want to take it to its illogical extent, but the implication of God's word right there in that verse is, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The implication is, if a person doesn't have very many friends, they may not be what? They may not be friendly. Are you reaching out to other folks here in Grace Baptist Church wanting to be with them? A hand cannot wash itself. It's very difficult. Yes, you can, I suppose, but there's more difficulty and you're not going to get it completely clean. It takes one hand to wash the other. And Christian friend, if you would like to be ministered to, only as you fulfill verse 11 will verse 12 be taking place in your life. What is verse 12? Let's read it. It says, that is, that I might be comforted together with you. That I might be comforted together with you through our mutual faith, both yours and mine. In other words, Paul is saying, verse 11, not only am I going to be lovingly giving spiritual strengthening to others, but only, get this, only as I do that, there is a result that's going to be taking place. I will be humbly receiving spiritual strengthening from others. I have to be initiating it. And then when I initiate it, I'll be humbly receiving it. Notice a couple of things about this. Mutual spiritual strengthening is the nature of the church. There is a mutuality here. Paul doesn't go there and say, I'm an apostle, you miserable peons there in the church of Rome. You ought to be all bowing down and kissing the ring on my hand. And since I'm superior to you and I have so much to give to you, I'll come there and be God's gift to you. That is not Paul's attitude at all. Paul says, look, I need help in life. I need encouragement. I need a blessing. I need a that a boy on the back. I need spiritual strengthening. It's difficult to be a spiritual self-starter all the time. Paul says, I need that. You all Romans. The Roman church, I know that God has worked in your lives. He's done amazing things. There are some stories that I want to hear about God working in your life as well. I want to listen to those. I want to hear those experiences. And as a result, I know my heart is going to be greatly enriched. He was looking forward to spending time with them. And by the way, this receiving the spiritual strengthening requires humility, right? He could have said, yeah, I am the great apostle Paul, but he doesn't. If you were going to be receiving spiritual strengthening from other people, it requires humility. He's not giving mock modesty. He's not a kiss up here or a brown noser. He's saying, I really long to be around you. You've got things that God's doing in your life that will be an encouragement to me. There are two kinds of teachers. There's a kind of teacher that expects and demands the students to just sit right up, and he stands above the students and demands that they accept everything that he says. That's one kind of teacher. There's another kind of teacher that says, let's all learn together. And, of course, there are balances in there that we all need to have. It takes real love to truly teach. And it takes real humility to truly learn. Let me ask you, how teachable are you? How teachable? Do you have other people who have ever said to you throughout life or at various stages, you are not very teachable? How teachable are you? We have some school teachers here in the room, and they can try to do their best with their students in their classroom. Some of the students in the classroom are you homeschooling mothers that we have here in our congregation. And you and I both know that if the student absolutely refuses to learn and be teachable, there isn't going to be much learning that is going to be going on. Now, obviously, the teacher has a responsibility there. The fault is not necessarily always with the student. There's got to be a balance there as well. But I'm asking, how teachable are you? I'll never forget. My wife and I got married. We went on a honeymoon, started ministry as soon as we pulled back in to the town in which we lived. And we got there on a Friday. Saturday, we set up housekeeping in the little apartment. I'll never forget our first food bill in setting up the apartment, the cupboards in there. It was $250. And that was practically 23 years ago. It'd probably be doubled that right now. I was astounded at that. And that next Sunday, I was so excited. I was a youth pastor in a church. And in that morning message, the pastor was speaking about the absolute necessity that the disciples had of Jesus to be teachable. And that same necessity of us to be teachable. Paul is willing to be taught by these ignorant Romans. Paul, who knows so much more doctrinally than what they do, but he is humble enough to be willing to be taught and encouraged by them. So let me ask, do you recognize that you need something? Do you recognize you need spiritual encouragement? Do you recognize that you need strengthening? If you recognize you need that, are you taking the first step in reaching out to others? Only then can you be receiving it. Spiritual strengthening not only requires humility, but also receiving spiritual strengthening requires actually looking for Christians, looking for the spiritual aspect in other people's lives. What is the first thing Paul was looking for everywhere he went? He was looking for Christians to relate spiritually. No, in going to Cuba, there are people there at the airport, the overwhelming majority of them not Christians, and I had to be careful with what I was said about what's in the boxes and all of that sort of thing. And in driving at 11:30 at night in a big van on streets that were dark, I didn't know where I was difficult. But then being dropped off at a place to stay, and the person there opens the door with a huge smile and greets us. Didn't know English, but greets us with hermanos y hermanas and a huge hug. I didn't know the person, but Pastor Eduardo is a dear friend, and immediately there was a connection. Perhaps you've been other places. I've had friends who've traveled to Russia and have ministered there, and they've been there in Red Square. And there are times in which hearing all of the Russian language, which my friend didn't know, but some of us here know Russian, but he didn't understand it. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of the cacophony of voices, he hears some English words. His eyes and eyebrows go up and he starts looking around. Where is that person? I hear them and I want to connect with them. Just as if you were in a foreign country and didn't know the language, and you want to connect with someone who knows the language and communicate with them, how much more, dear friends, is it a blessing for us to be looking for other Christians to spiritually encourage them? Or are you looking for people who have a particular color of skin, or a particular nationality, or a particular social status, or a particular educational background? Here's a good test. When you are meeting other people, what are you looking for? Are you delighted to meet other Christians? They may be a different denomination. They may part their hair, if they have any, differently than what you do. They may have some things about them that doesn't fit your necessarily background. Those things are Christian liberty issues and should be minimized, and we should connect over the things that we do have. If there's a bridge that's burnt, the matches should not be found in our hands. We should seek to be encouragers of everyone in the Christian community. There are a number of good gospel preaching, Bible-believing churches here in Elko. We are not their enemy. We are brothers and sisters along with them. We may disagree on some of the minors, but those things are minors. There are others with whom we cannot even agree on who the person of God is or the person of Jesus Christ or even what the Word of God is, let alone the way of salvation. That doesn't mean I have to treat them like dirt. I treat them kindly, and I want to shine forth Jesus for them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, dear friends, that we are to be encouraging others, but our main encouragement should be right here. So if we're going to be receiving spiritual strengthening, it's going to require humility on your part. You're not better than anyone else. It's going to require you actually looking for the Christianity and looking for the spiritual encouragement. But thirdly, it's going to require enjoying it. There may be some people that you don't like hanging around as much. They may do things differently. They have quirks about them of which it just gets under your skin. They have idiosyncrasies. Now, you all know everyone has idiosyncrasies except me. I have none whatsoever. That's a lie here right in church. We all have idiosyncrasies. And it doesn't mean that we're all going to be absolute best friends. It's impossible to have best friend relationship with everyone that's on your Facebook. It's impossible. But there is a select group. Look, remember, dear friends, out of all of Jesus' followers, he had 12 that he was closer to. And there were three of those 12 that he was closest to. And then there was one, the Apostle Peter, that he was really closest with, and the Apostle John, whom, because they were cousins, and also it says that Jesus really had a special affection for him and ministering to him. So our lives are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be those that are kind of out there on the fringe. There are going to be those who are going to be closer to us. There are going to be those who are super close. My question is, are you willing to receive spiritual encouragement? Are you trying to minister and encourage them? So did Paul need encouragement? Did this pastor need encouragement? You better believe it with the things he went through. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need encouragement because we're battling against Satan regularly. So I'm asking, by way of application, do you enjoy the company of all true Christians? Anyone can call themselves a Christian, but I'm asking, do you enjoy the company of all true Christians? Or must they be a particular type? Must they be highly intelligent? Must they be dressed in a particular manner? Are you willing to spend 3 hours? Which would you rather spend time with? 3 hours with the most humble and ignorant of Christians? Or 3 hours with, I was getting ready to say Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Who wants either one of those? I don't know. I better get off that topic. Some great person. Who is a popular great person in our world? They aren't running for president, that's for sure. Today. Who would be someone? Who would you rather spend time with? 3 hours with the most ignorant or 3 hours with someone that is great? Paul says, I don't care. Some of you all there, those Christians were slaves. Some of them were uneducated. Some of them did not know the doctrines, obviously, that Paul did, but he was willing and wanting to spend time with the humblest Christian. Beware. Sometimes some of the biggest blessings you can receive are from some of the people who aren't the most ostentatious. Sometimes some of the biggest blessings you can receive are from some people who are quiet here. Sometimes some of the biggest blessings you can receive are not from me. Everybody says amen. But it's from someone who's quiet. Those still waters, I tell you, run deep. How about getting to know them? Someone who you don't know very well. And before we leave, we're going to make practice of that. Secondly, under this point, mutual faith, mutual spiritual strengthening is the nature of the Christian church, and mutual faith is a picture of fellowship of the church. Mutual faith. Mutual faith. Look at verse 12 again. That is, that I might be comforted together with you through our mutual faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You've obtained a like precious faith on equal standing as us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. John says, that which we have seen and heard we declare unto you, so that your fellowship may be with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. It's through the mutual faith that we have. So that fellowship that we have is all based upon our faith. Question: how do you know if someone really has faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, anyone can claim to be a Christian. The majority of the people in the United States today claim Christianity. Do you really think that all of them are Christians? Do you really believe that just because a person claims to be a Christian that they necessarily are? And by the way, just because a person is in church doesn't make them a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car, right? So, how do you know if someone is a Christian or not? Can we think about that? Are there any evidences of faith? In other words, as I'm looking to be ministering to others and looking to be ministered to, what are some things that I ought to be looking for in faith with others? Well, faith shows itself in living no longer as it used to. There was a change. The little children's song, "The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. There's been a change. And friends, there comes an encouragement in seeing that. Sometimes that change is slow. Yes, sometimes it takes us all a while to get some traction in some areas in our life. But there is a definite change. How else does faith show itself? It shows itself in knowing a little bit more of the Bible. Because I'm in the Bible, Paul isn't concerned necessarily so much about the amount of knowledge, but that there is some of the Bible. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing the way of salvation, and a hunger for that knowledge. By the way, can I encourage you? By way, thirdly, there is a talking of a testimony. There's a testimony that's there. A true faith wants to share a little bit and isn't greatly reluctant about what God has done in their lives. Can I encourage you concerning giving your testimony to others? It'll be an encouragement. Ask others for their story. You tell them your story. Read the biographies of other Christian people. You'll see their struggles. I love reading biographies of others because I see their struggles and their failures. The great C.T. Studd, who founded a whole mission to China. C.T. Studd was a great cricket player in England, far better than even Billy Sunday was as a baseball player in the early 19-teens of the previous century. C.T. Studd was a great cricket player. God saved him, and he dropped it all to form a mission board. Did you realize that mission board had to fire their own founder because C.T. Studd got addicted to narcotics? I'm not saying that for us to slam C.T. Studd. But when I read that about other Christians who struggle with something That gives me encouragement. By the way, that's not the end of C.T. Studd. There were other Christians in various places who struggle with themselves, who struggle with their past, who struggle with their finances, who struggle with their desires, who struggle with wanting to lop people's heads off verbally. Some have a black belt in verbal karate. Some of us perhaps are trained in it. I've been trained in it before as well and used it very well in college. But dear friends, those things can trap us and they could bother us, but here's the great thing. When you read about other Christians' lives, it encourages you. They struggle with the same thing because sometimes these things can be used of Satan to pulverize us so much that we think there's no hope for us. What's the use of going to church? What's the use of trying to live the Christian life? What's the use of persevering when really others struggle with the same thing and you can have grace for moving forward? Give your testimony. What does real faith evidence itself in? Well, in a change. It evidences itself in growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It evidences itself in giving a testimony. It evidences itself, fourthly, in growth, continued growing and developing. I'm a little bit better this year dealing with difficulties than I was last year at this time. Praise the Lord. You may not like you, but do you notice a little bit of change? You may not like me. But God's not finished with either one of us yet. He's still working on me to make me and you what we ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on you and me. It shows itself in growth and development. It shows itself in concern for others. The whole point of what we're talking about here. It shows itself in praying. Real faith wants to not only hear God by reading the Bible, real faith wants to talk back to him in praying. Paul requested that the church pray for him. And by the way, this whole thing of mutual faith, mutual spiritual strengthening, it's not just a few people in the church, the stalwarts, who are supposed to do that. Someone likened the church of today much like a football game. There's 22 people working in desperate need of rest, surrounded by 22,000 people in desperate need of exercise. There is to be a sharing. We are all in this game together. Now, yes, sometimes we may need to sub out. We may need to catch a breather and get a big gulp of Gatorade in order to get back into the game. But we are all in the game. So, where are you in reaching out to others? Yes, as long as there are people like Aaron Young, they're going to get under our skin because I'm a sinner, and dear friend, you are too. But we can still be ministering to other people. So, would you pray with me in our church here? Would you pray with me that we build relationships here? But that those relationships do what mainly? What are we talking about? Have I lost you? Almost. We're practically done. I'm making application, three illustrations real quick, and we're gone. It's not just that we merely build relationships, but that in those relationships we do what? Yeah, there is spiritual strengthening. Took a visitor here, huh? He got the right answer. Building relationships that spiritually strengthen others. Would you also pray of some, thirdly, specific ways on how you can do that in building and encouraging others up? Also, would you pray that we would find encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would find this ourselves, that notice we're praying, we want to be doing it, and then toward the end, pray that we receive it, and that there is a mutual sharing that goes on. Pray. That church in Rome, do you think they had difficulties? Yes, they did. Many of them were slaves. Many of them were off doctrinally, and that's why Paul writes this letter. Did the church in Galatia have trouble? Yes, they did. Did the church in Corinth have difficulties? Yes. But they were sent a letter to focus on the truth. Can I encourage us something just about that? Focus more upon what we are to be doing and thinking than upon the weaknesses. I'm not saying that we ignore the weaknesses. Please don't take what I'm saying to its illogical extent. But I am saying that our shoulder strength should be built on mutually encouraging and strengthening one another. Do you remember the Apostle Paul, before he was saved? What was he responsible for? What did he do? What was his major occupation, especially a few months before God saved him? What did he do? He rounding up Christians and responsible for their deaths. God saves him dramatically. And as soon as God saves him, God comes to a fellow by the name of Ananias and says, Ananias, this is in Acts chapter 9. Ananias, I want you to go to Paul and help him. Put your hands on him. I want you to be a physical presence of me to him, saying physically, God has sent me and he is appointing you, as we do when ordaining men to the ministry, putting hands on him, laying hands, that he is appointed in the ministry. He's blind right now and those scales will fall off. Do you remember Ananias? What was Ananias's automatic response to hearing that Ananias alone is to go to this guy who's a Christian killer? Do you remember what Ananias first responded? He responded respectfully, but it says, Lord, I've heard about him. I know a little bit about him, and it makes me a little, I need to put on a couple of extra swipes under my arm if I'm going to do that. And the Lord comes back very graciously and says, go ahead anyway, because I've appointed him. And Ananias goes, in spite of the differences, in spite of the fear, in spite of the things that were trouble-causing in the past, he goes and he puts his hands on him, appoints him into the ministry, and calls him brother. Friend, if Ananias could go to someone who had the reputation of being a Christian killer, shouldn't we be willing to go and try to be some kind of a blessing to them? Bees are amazing. Bees mutually feed each other. Our time has gone 40 minutes here. I need to wrap it up. Bees mutually feed each other. Not only do they feed the queen, they feed each other. In the wintertime, their bodies huddle together for warmth. When it's cool, their bodies huddle together for warmth. And when it's too hot, they spread out and they fan each other for a breeze. When they are looking for another place to go, they send some drones out, some workers to investigate various places, obviously places with lots of pollen, and then those drones come back, and they're all in one huge mass. I've seen this in a top of a tree usually. Huge, great big ball of bees. And what those drones are doing, they've come back in and they're communicating to everyone else, and it's a mutual members business meeting. It's communicating. And they mutually are unified in their decision. Now, they're different bees. There's a queen bee, there's the worker bees, there's the drones, there's various kinds of bees. There's various ones of us here. We're all, unanimity doesn't mean that we're going to be the exact same. It means that we're heading in the same direction with the same spirit. May God help us to be like those bees. Last illustration and we're done. I've told you the illustration before about two men who came as visitors to the church. They both came in. No one said anything to either one of these two men who came completely separately and independently. The one man said to himself, no one is reaching out to me. I'm going to come back next week, and if no one reaches out to me next week, then I'm not coming back here again. The other man said this, no one is reaching out to me. I'm going to come back next week, and if no one reaches out to me next week, I'm going to reach out to some people. Which of those two individuals are you going to be? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the gracious attention of your folks here today. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who reach out And as we, number one, reach out and give spiritual strengthening to others, Lord, I pray that the second would be an automatic result, that we would receive the spiritual strengthening from others. Father, help us to be humble. Help us to be teachable. Help us to be looking for true biblical Christianity in the lives of others. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be developing relationships here, but not just mere relationship for the point of mere relationship, but that our shoulder strength would be spiritually building up, encouraging in you. Lord, may we be focusing on your focal points that you have given us right there, and not so much upon our own inadequacies or the inadequacies of others. Lord, help us to be spiritually strengthening and then expecting the spiritual strengthening of one hand washing another. May our mutual faith, our faith with you, and that faith of trusting you, Lord, to work in others, may that mutual faith bring victory here that helps this church overcome the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.